Welcome to the Military Child Education Coalition podcast, the show that highlights a wide range of challenges and triumphs that our military-connected kids experience. My name is Nikki Harrison, and I'll be your host today. We would like to say thank you for the support of the Davis Month and Spouses Club for this episode. I am so excited to have joining me a really special guest, and I would love for him to introduce himself and tell a little bit about growing up in his family.
Hi, my name's Nicholas Vale. I'm currently stationed overseas in Sicily, the military base Sigonella in Sicily. I was born in San Diego, and my dad actually didn't take his first overseas job till I was about in second grade. He is retired military. He enlisted in the Coast Guard when he was younger. However, now he's a contractor. Our first trip overseas was to Naples, Italy, and I spent 4.5 years there. And then we returned to San Diego for COVID. And just 2 years ago in 2022, we came over here to Sicily, and I'll graduate my high school over here.
Wonderful. Well, what a really great childhood that you've had with your dad being in the military and now as a contractor, a just very unique perspective, I feel. And love that you have been in Italy before. You're now in Italy again. And I'd like for you to talk with our listeners a little bit what it's like living in a different country, first off, and attending a school with students from all different backgrounds.
Well, I really love living overseas. I really like Italy. I practically grew up there. So it's really just kind of a like another home for me. It's also a very different perspective to a lot of military children who are forced to move like every 2 years. I kind of have the luxury of sticking in one or two places, but I think it's a really cool experience. I've got to spend half my life in San Diego, in America, where I know everyone, I know everything. And then every few years, we move to a place where it's different and it's new. And I really like it. I like it here. You know, it's Italy. It's kind of hard to go wrong. And I attend the Dodea School on the base. And that was really interesting, too. The first time you go, it's definitely a shock. They're a lot bigger than the school I went to in San Diego. And it is really cool and unique to have all the different kinds of students you see. You see people who lived in Japan for most of their life, or Korea, or all over different places in Europe, and even different places in the United States. I mean, in one little city on the West Coast, you don't get all the whole perspectives of the United States. I mean, we're a really big country, but it's really cool to be able to talk with people from all around the world at the same time.
Yeah, I love that aspect of living overseas and in other countries as well. I grew up living in Spain, Germany, and England, and as an adult have lived in Japan. And so I absolutely agree with you. I think having all of the different cultures and people and foods, traditions that you experience can be just a really great to have as part of your experience of growing up. So I love that you're able to experience that as well. So I know you've said that you joined S2S because you didn't want anyone to feel left behind as a new student like you have previously. Can you talk a little bit about that experience and why you believe S2S is important?
Sure. I came from a really small private school in San Diego. And so that means I spent most of my school time, actually all of my school time, with the same 30 kids every day, every grade. No one left, no one came. So you really became, I mean, every parent knew each other, every kid knew every other parent. It was a really, really tight community. And I went from that to a 500 kid Dodea school where there was like 100 kids per grade and 5 different classes. I knew no one. No one showed me around. I think I got lost like my first day in the middle of nowhere. And I just didn't know what to do. And, you know, it's kind of shocking to go from, you know, my dad hadn't done much with the military right then. He had retired a while ago. He was just kind of being a firefighter at a fire station. And now I'm in this military environment at a school with 500 kids, and I don't know what to do. And so it takes some time, but of course you kind of learn quickly how to make friends. But there was no S2S at that school at that time. I don't know whether or not there is now, but before there wasn't. No one showed me around. I never showed anyone else around. And so it was kind of jarring. But I think it's really important that that doesn't happen because, you know, it makes transitions so much smoother when you're able to work with someone else. Like coming here was so much smoother. I was shown where I needed to go. I never got lost. I couldn't even get lost because someone was there with me. And, you know, it's a lot easier to make friends when you have someone to talk to and to show you to other people than to just be thrown in there and kind of be like, suit yourself.
Yeah, it's funny how a somewhat negative experience really makes you think about the experiences of others and how you don't want anyone to ever feel like you felt when you were that new student. And so that really hit close to home when you said, you know, you didn't have anyone to really help you. And that's why you want to help other students not feel like how you felt. I think that's a great piece for our other students that may be listening to kind of pick up on. I know you've also said that you've moved in the middle of the year and said that that was very difficult. And for a lot of our families, whether you're military connected or not, there are middle of the year moves that occur for our students. And so, how does S2S better support these students when it's like the middle of the year and all of the stuff that happens at the beginning of the year maybe isn't happening anymore?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Like at the beginning of each new school year, not everyone knows each other, at least not in bigger schools where people move and stuff. But when you come in the middle of the year, everyone's already made their friend groups or like made the people with to hang out with. So things are already solid. Every teacher knows all the students or all knows all their students. And everyone's like comfortable, even in a military school where people are moving, everyone's comfortable because that's just a part of it. So when you come in the middle of the year, really like, you're shaken up. Everyone else is just like, fine, oh, look at the new kid. But you're like, where am I supposed to fit in into all of this? And I feel like S2S is the group that like builds the new spot for you to fit into, right? We introduce you to your new teachers the day we orient you around. Then we sit with you at lunch so you're not sitting alone or doing something like that. We might help you find a friend. Like they make that spot for you to fit into. I think that's incredibly important. I mean, coming at the beginning of the year, the end of the year, you don't need that. But in the middle of the year, yeah, it's tough. Everyone already is set in their way, and you need to figure out how to fit in with that.
I love how you said S2S builds the spot for you to fit in. I think that just really struck a chord with me that, yeah, when you come in the middle of the year, everyone's kind of comfortable and already kind of doing their thing. And so it is really great to have an S2S that can help guide you and connect you to those students, to teachers, maybe some interests that you have, like activities, clubs, or things like that. So, what attribute do you believe is most important to an S2S program?
I think I wrote this on my application to the Francis Hesselbein program, but I wrote kindness and I still stand by kindness because it's not like the standard. What do you think is most important? Oh, you got to be organized. No, I said it was kindness. And I said it was kindness because if you're not kind, then are you really making that new person feel comfortable? Are you really building a spot that that person wants to sit into? Is it really someplace they want to be if you're not that kind? If you're not that kind person, did the school make a good impression to you? Are you going to have a good start to the 2, 3, 4 years you're going to spend there? If we can soften the blow, the next like push off won't be so hard, right? You'll recover quicker, be able to fit in quicker. And so it's not as difficult when you're surrounded by kind people. And who, I mean, do people like being surrounded by negative people? I mean, I try to stay positive when I can, and I think that makes a difference. You know, I think that makes the difference between a good experience and a bad experience. So if S2S is about experiences, then kindness is important.
Yes, I wish I could shout from the rooftops that kindness is so important. It's actually one of the things that I say, people will hear me say at the end of the podcast, in a world where you can be anything, be kind. I completely agree with you. I think it just completely changes a person's experience when they encounter kindness. And so I love that you are sticking to that, and that's the attribute that you feel is most important, because I would agree with you. So I know that your S2S does a lot of different things because you're in a school where you have a student population, the demographics is just, there's a lot of different types of students. And so I'd love for you to tell our listeners something unique that your S2S does for your school.
Yeah, I think it's something that unique that came out of almost a necessity, but we have a NATO student population of about 25-30% right now. So that's a pretty decent percent of people who come in from other European countries, not necessarily America, not necessarily deployed to the same bases we were, and most importantly, don't necessarily speak as well the language we speak. So when we do get a NATO student, something we do try to do is we try to pair people that speak the same languages or that come from the same country, because that really does change the experience as well. You're coming into something a little more familiar. And I imagine for them that is quite shocking to go from it's kind of like the first time you go overseas, right? It's except for them, now everyone's speaking a different language and doesn't share their culture or any semblance of their culture. So we try and do something like that. That's quite different, I think.
Yes, very different. And I think a fantastic way to approach connecting those new students to something that they can relate to. And so I love that you're pairing students that have similar backgrounds culturally, maybe language-wise, together. And hopefully that makes them feel a little bit of that sense of belonging right at the get-go, you know, where they're going through that transition. So really excited to hear about all of the things that your S2S is doing, because we know every program is a little bit different in every school and how it operates. A little bit earlier, you talked about your Francis Hesselbein Student Leadership Program application and some things that you put in that. And you were able to attend at West Point in New York, which is really exciting, I'm sure. And so I'd love to hear about how your week went while you were there.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible, I thought. It's always kind of crazy to go from Europe to the States. So there was that. And then, you know, one day, not even a day on the ground before things get going. So, you know, I was running high on jet lag and caffeine when I got there and kind of the whole week. But it was really a lot of fun. And I learned quite a bit. And it was also really cool to connect with other people who kind of did the same thing as me and kind of shared the same beliefs and held true, like being kind and trying to help new people and, you know, not in it just because someone told them to do it, but they were there because they were leadership in their S2S. So that means they'd stayed there for a reason. And, you know, like I said, I learned a whole lot about how to be a better leader and how to change my school for the better and hopefully, you know, change a little bit of the world for the better.
I can imagine that was an interesting start to your week coming from overseas to the States. And so I love that you said you were running on jet lag and caffeine. And great that you were able to really have an experience with other students that you enjoyed. I think that's what's great about the program. So a favorite part, was there something that stood out?
Something that just stood out simply because it felt really cool. And I actually learned we did a speed reading class. This is like the opposite of what the whole program was really about. But we took a speed reading class with the teachers at West Point, and it was funny to see how people who, like, some people got it right away and some people just couldn't get it. Like, some people were like, oh yeah, I can do it. Now I'm reading it 600 words a minute. And others were like, yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And so it was interesting to see how people worked. And working with that, you kind of work through what you do if someone doesn't get something right away. So even though it wasn't really the core about leadership, it tied back in because it was able to teach us how you can help someone along, even if they weren't getting it. So how do you be a leader when it's one-on-one and you need to help someone along? That was what I got out of that experience, and also because it was a lot of fun and I was good at it.
It helps when you're good at it too. I was laughing and I was thinking I need to try a speed reading class because I'm an avid reader. I wonder how I would do. But great, that was your favorite part first. And that you were able to tie it back to the leadership aspect of the week and how that's important for your S2S, you know, for someone that maybe doesn't get something right away. So I love that you were able to kind of pull something out of that, because I don't know if everybody could. So you made some connections that week, and it sounds like you really enjoyed the other students that were with you. Are you still in touch with them?
I am. I've attended some of the cohort meetings when I can, but it's really hard because they're scheduled at like the worst possible times for me over here, and I'm the only one over here. So it's like, I get it. We're all really busy people. Like, all of us who went there are crazy busy people. So I've tried the best I can. I have some of their contacts, but also being over here means I have to use like WhatsApp. I can't use normal messaging. So it's really hard to stay in contact with them. But yeah, I have with a few of them, and that's been really nice.
That's great. And yes, being overseas makes it a little bit different. I remember when we were stationed in Japan, and there was like a 14 or 15 hour difference between some of the people I was trying to be in contact with. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning for them, but it's not for me. And so, yeah, I'm sure that that time change difference makes it a little bit difficult, but nice to hear that you're in contact with some. So it really sounds like you learned so much that week. I would love to know, did you bring something new that you learned back to your S2S?
Yeah, I think the focus of the week for our group was we all said we wanted to work on communication, bettering our communication between us and our sponsors, and then also us and our sponsors to our groups. Because the way that communication works, if that's bad communication, then what you're trying to do is going to go badly or not as well as it could. And so I think what I learned on how to communicate effectively, how to communicate properly so that your message isn't lost, was really helpful, because I might phrase something a little differently than they might hear it. And so being able to kind of tweak my words to make sure that everyone got the message has really helped us. And it helped us make sure that we stay organized and aligned to get through like an event, like an orientation, like a 5-6 hour event where everyone knows what's happening because we're all communicating properly. And that was kind of a struggle before, but I think we were able to work out some of the kinks thanks to some of the techniques I learned, which was cool.
I think that's very cool. And I think effective communication is so important. And at times, I don't think we place enough emphasis on its significance. And so I think that's great that you were able to do that. And I know that you talked a little bit about a capstone project with effective communication. Can you talk about like what you're doing with that?
Yeah, so not exactly effective communication, but my capstone project is about changing school culture and teaching other kids some of the skills I learned on how they can speak up and be an advocate for themselves. It started when we noticed some problems. You know, the world is kind of changing and not always for the better. And that kind of trickles down its way into the news and then into our families and into our homes and then, unfortunately, into our schools, too. And it kind of sits there and doesn't do much good. And our goal was to kind of, in whatever way we could, push positivity back up that same way in hopes that we could change something for the better, maybe just our school, maybe our base community, maybe parts of the world, you know, hopefully. So we designed a statue, and that's being built, and it's going to be placed on the base. We had a talk with our faculty, which was somewhat successful. We have some trouble there. And we have some other slots. We'll be going to the Global Training Summit, and we'll be talking there with some of the other students who have participated. And our whole goal is, you know, using partly how the effective communication works to push positivity back up through what once was negative. And kind of, you know, in this world, if you can be anything, be kind, like you said, and just spread a kinder message, especially when things are not looking so great.
Love it so much. Yes, I think I'm excited. I'm excited to see you at the Global Training Summit because I'll be there too. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. You know, effective communication or just communication in general, creating a positive environment, changing something. I think that is great that you and others are focusing on that because I think that's really important. And so I love that. I love that so much. So About leadership, I know you won the Suzy Carlton Student Leadership and Civic Responsibility Award. And I know there's a component of leadership and civic responsibility within that award. How did it feel winning?
I mean, it felt nice, but it felt good. It felt like I kind of made maybe a little difference, or at least someone noticed something I did, which was nice, because as much as we kind of don't want to say that we want to be recognized for what we're doing it just to be good. It does feel good when you are recognized. And if you can't recognize someone else doing good, you should. You should say something to them, because it does kind of change what we do. And it motivates you. It motivates me to try and be a little better and do a little more when I can.
I think it's great to be able to give back and do something that betters your community, betters yourself, betters others around you. And so I think it's great that you were feeling good about winning that award, because it always feels a little good to be acknowledged for something that you're doing well. And I was just thinking, what does civic service mean to you? And why do you think it's an important part of leadership?
Well, civic service to me is helping your community. It's working in your community to better your community or to fix something in your community. It's working for your community, not working to be paid. It's working for your community. It's volunteering. It's helping out at a food drive. It's stuff like that. And civic service and leadership is really important. And that's because if you're trying to be an effective leader, you need to be an effective leader in whatever you're doing, but also in your community, especially if your community is the group you're leading. And if your community is the group you're leading, they need to know and be sure that you are there to help them. And so if you show them that through civic service, that's really, really important. And that strengthens your ability to lead, because they know you're not just some person who came here just because and is leading because you did something in the past, and they don't care about that. You know, showing that you care is really important in leadership, and civic service is a great way, and it does show that you do care, especially to your community and the people you lead.
I think that is really important part of leadership and civic service and bettering your community. And it reminded me of a guest that I had a couple of months ago that talked about, you know, once she was able to choose where she could live, she was raised a military kid and moved around, that she decided she wanted to better that place that she chose to live, right? And so whether you choose to live where you're at or somebody has chosen for you to live where you're at, it is really great to do something where you're giving back to your community. So I really like that. If you had some advice for students looking for opportunities to participate in civic service, what would it be?
I'd say it doesn't have to be something big. I'd say it's often the small that really works well, that shows that you care the most. Small deeds stack up. So if that means like cleaning up a street, or it means joining someone cleaning up a street, or volunteering at the library, or soup kitchen, or you don't need to start something, some organization or event or charity to do civic service. It's happening all around you. You just have to find it, join it, find something you like to do. That helps, because, you know, if you like to do it, you're enjoying making your community a better place. That would be what I recommend. Find something you're doing around you, because I guarantee you there's something, and find something you like and get into it. I mean, make a difference. It's important, and it's not that hard when you find it. It comes a lot easier than most people think, I feel.
I like how you talked about it doesn't have to be something big. It can be the small things. And I think at times we don't always look at the fact that all of the little small things that we do sometimes lead to the really big things that are happening, or the big changes that are happening. So I think your advice is fantastic. Find something you're interested in. It doesn't have to be big. It can be something small, and just jump in there and start doing it. So I'm curious, after high school, some of your future aspirations, just because I saw you were involved in flight schools and flight school programs. And so could you talk a little bit about, you know, future, what that holds for you?
Yeah, I hope to attend a university to get a bachelor's in aerospace engineering. And then I want to go on to be a pilot and I want to fly. I've loved to fly ever since I kind of took my first flight, and like I got up in the air, you take off and you feel that like giddy feeling in your stomach. I'm always like an adrenaline junkie. I love to ride roller coasters over and over again. And so I was like, I can do that for a job. And it's really cool that we could put a metal tube in the air. That was sold. So the minute I could, I got in a plane. Actually, when I got back to San Diego during COVID, I went to my local flight school and I got in a plane. After just a few months, I landed you land the plane and I was ready to fly. I was ready to move on. Unfortunately, I was too young, so I kind of took two steps back and I volunteered at that same flight school, working there, I bettered the place a little bit. I tried to better the place a little bit. And then I did some of my schooling there. I finished my ground schooling there. Really great. I love to fly. I loved all the flight schools I've worked with, and it's just a lot of fun.
I kind of suspected that pilot was in the future for you. And I too can ride a roller coaster over and over and over and over again. My family can't stand it because they're
No,
not roller
neither.
coaster people. So it's usually me riding the roller coaster with complete strangers because my family won't ride them with me. So I was like laughing when you said that. So exciting. I just want to thank you for talking so much about your childhood, sharing your story, S2S, Frances Hesselbein, and just all the things that you're doing. You really are an amazing individual. And I want to thank you for spending time with me today.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so nice. It's been so great. And thank you for inviting me here to do it. That it's been really cool. And it feels like all the little small things I did have now built up to something, which is really cool. So thank you.
I'd like to thank Nicholas for his time today, as I've really enjoyed our conversation. And we've loved featuring so many incredible military-connected kids in our podcast for Month of the Military Child. Thanks for listening to the MSEC Podcast, the official podcast of the Military Child Education Coalition. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like, share, subscribe, and give today's show a 5-star rating. And don't forget to leave us a comment on topics you'd like to hear more about. We'd like to give a special thanks again to the Davis Monthan Spouses Club for supporting this episode and Consensus Media for audio mixing. I'm Nikki Harrison, and until next time, in a world where you can be anything, be kind.